get the eRadio SA app right now for free on the Google Play Store. Entertainment Radio on the go.
It is 14 minutes past 3 o'clock. You're on eRadio. And yes, we are back. Listen, I don't know what on earth just happened here. The weirdest thing happened. You know, everything was just nice and calm, and I was just enjoying the show and getting ready to go to the news at 3. And the next thing you know, everything just goes up in not in flames, but in water. We had a, I think it's a cloud burst here in Niceland, and everything, all the technology just cut out. I don't know. Did you have something to do with it, Kane?
Can you imagine that, eh? I mean, that would be some clever... Imagine you could make it rain. I mean, literally.
But the funny thing is, I was actually talking about the newsreader, our newsreader, Keenan, who got his jab today. His vaccine, and I was talking about all his new superpowers, and the next moment all these things happened. So I wonder if he didn't have anything to do with it.
Well, it's good to be here. At least you're active. It's funny that it's the tech show and the tech kind of didn't show.
Yes, it's very ironic, but I'm not a happy camper at the moment. Bloody weather. But anyway, where are you today? Obviously you're not here in the studio because I can't see you.
No, I'm still in Harkerville area near Plettenberg of Bay, yeah.
And Plettenberg of Bay,
it's,
yeah.
It's not so rainy here, but I think the storm is heading this way. I'm going to start getting my umbrella ready.
It is on its way. Weeks. It's on its way to you, most definitely. We're running on our backup 4G connection right now, so hopefully everybody can hear us loud and clear. Kane, what are we starting with today on Tech Thursday?
So today we have quite a few interesting pieces. So I'll give you the lineup because there's quite a few really interesting things happening. So the first thing is Facebook is going to release their smart glasses later this year. They claim there's no new technology, but there's the first time that all the technology is in one place. So that's going to be very interesting, seeing whether it's AR, augmented reality, or VR, virtual reality, or a mixture of both. Also, for creators out there making YouTube videos, TikTok videos, all that good stuff, YouTube has just released a $100 million fund, which can reward creators anywhere from $100 to $10,000 a month on YouTube Shorts, obviously to try combat TikTok's lead in the market at the moment. Naspers just led an $11 million investment into South Africa InsurTech, and Moneros, which is a cryptocurrency, their creator, his username or nickname Fluffy Pony, joins Ross Albrecht and Arthur Hayes behind bars, but he's there for a non-crypto related crime. We're going to find out what crime that was and how he ended up in jail. Audi is bringing their electronic models to South Africa in 2022. We're also taking a look at about 10 interesting things happening in tech, very quick, very short, but also all very interesting. Louis Vuitton has made a art video game for their 200th birthday, which uses NFTs. We spoke about it. Coca-Cola just released an NFT. The World Wide Web creator released his initial source code as an NFT. So Louis Vuitton joining the ranks. And then Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis, Jane Fonda, and more famous actors join in on an NFT series, something that you can watch online. So very interesting day today in crypto. What about you, Ian?
Yo, that is very, very interesting. I'm pleased to hear that Jane Fonda is part of it. Man, that woman is so hip. She's incredible. I love Jane Fonda. There's this great story on Netflix, a series with Jane Fonda. It's brilliant. Obviously, the name's going to escape me now. Oh, Grace and Frankie.
It's what a great show.
It's
what
very
great,
funny.
Great show,
eh? Very funny with Lily Tomlin, I think. She's brilliant as well. Yeah. Right, yeah. Well, today mainly focusing on WhatsApp getting a major new feature that's going to be very beneficial to all the WhatsApp users. Also, DStv had a major outage, a lot like us today here in South Africa, a major outage that had some problems with their equipment. You know, that's the thing about technology, that it works so well and it's amazing and it's advanced, but the moment it fails, you are absolutely screwed. So we're going to look at that story today. And then also I see ENCA or E-News rather. Sorry, no. Oh, no, not even E. The main E. ETV released a new service, a new video on demand service that's actually going to be free. And they're launching it today. Well, actually tonight at 8 o'clock. I'll tell you all about it. The details, what you'll be able to see, and so on and so forth. And then also, yay, BritBox coming to South Africa within the next couple of days as well. I think the official launch is on Monday, the 9th of August.
Oh, wow. That's very interesting, right?
Yeah, that's going to be brilliant. Really looking forward to that. But Kane, you go first.
Right. So Facebook is coming out with their smart glasses. Co-founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg has revealed the partnership between Ray-Ban and Essilor Luxottica, which was discussed during a Facebook content conference last year. We'll see movements later in 2021. During an earnings call this week, he said, looking ahead here, the next product release will be the launch of our first smart glasses from Ray-Ban and in partnership with Luxottica. The glasses have their iconic form factor and they let you do some pretty neat things. He says he's excited to get these into people's hands and continue to make progress on the journey towards full augmented reality glasses in the future. One thing to note though is he said, however, they do a lot of concepts that we think will eventually be critical for augmented reality glasses. It's all components that people have seen before, nothing but never all in one place. So it's not like they're rewriting the wheel here, but in fact that they're taking existing components that have been released obviously by competitors and combining it in one place. But that is all they said. So whether this is fully developed yet or they're trying to get an extra boost out of the current, you know, mid-year kind of stage, it's yet to be seen. But what we do know is these glasses will probably be very cool and probably a step up from the original Google glasses that came out that I think kind of flopped, actually.
Yeah, I was going to ask you now, what happened to those glasses? They just disappeared.
As fast as they arrived, they disappeared. And yeah. I think the bottom line is, you know, for glasses and augmented reality, which is like having overlay on top of your initial reality. So if you're looking through your glasses, there's little pop-ups and notifications and kind of it'll select an item in your view and say, you know, this is a chair and that is a bed and that sort of stuff. That's like augmented reality. And I think that kind of area is a very tricky area to get into, mostly because the technology has to be very, very superior, that the overlay in fact doesn't disrupt your vision, you know, of what you're actually meant to be seeing, and they have to be usable. And at the end of the day, you can't just, you know, poke your glasses to do things with. You have to obviously have it voice commanded, or it has to look at your eyes to be able to tell what you're doing. So it's a very tricky market to get into. I'm very interested to see what Facebook has in store for it and how it actually works with Facebook, because that will be their overall goal. How do we create a product which can better be used in the Facebook experience or under the Facebook umbrella? That's what I'm really interested to see, how they actually integrate that into the real world.
Fantastic. Are you still on WhatsApp, Kane?
I am on WhatsApp, but as you can see, we're currently chatting on Discord. So I am trying to find alternatives, because there's a lot of trickery in WhatsApp, you know, with the voice and having calls and things like that. It can sometimes be intermittent. It does perform better than Signal at times, I must say. I've had some weird experiences with Signal, such as sometimes I'm on a WhatsApp call and I'll get another call on Signal, and when I join the Signal call, I end up being on both calls at once, which is a very unique experience in itself.
But can the two different callers hear each other, or does it turn into a conference call or not?
No, well, that's what I'm still trying. I'm trying to think which person that I'm on the phone with can actually hear me, and I can hear both people at once, and they both can hear me. No, it's very confusing.
That is incredibly confusing. Wow, I don't even know how you do it. But yes, just tell us quickly before we talk about the new WhatsApp feature. Just tell us quickly about this Discord thing that we're using today. It's a first for me as well.
So, Discord is actually something that's gaining popularity quite quickly in a few different angles. One, obviously, being a gaming platform, a platform in which gamers collect within a server in order to play games together, be able to hear each other. Some companies use it in order to manage their teams and have team discussions and use the file sharing feature. And some businesses actually use it as a community management tool in order to have text-based conversations and video-based conversations and even voice-based conversations inside of different groups. Now, it's a very intuitive tool, but the coolest thing about Discord is it actually has quite a lot of very fancy voice and noise cancellation optimization within it. So when you're having your calls, it kind of sounds like everyone's on a really good mic. Meanwhile, someone could just have a lapel mic strapped to a piece of wood hanging across the room, and you wouldn't actually know, opposed to something like WhatsApp or Signal. You know, if the audio quality coming through the WhatsApp call or the Signal call, it can sound very disrupted. Discord does a very good job of cleaning that up.
Yeah, it is. I can hear that, for example, in the background now as we speak. I've got headphones on. I can hear that there's not really background noise. It cancels the background noise out. So that's quite nice, because that can be very distracting.
Absolutely. I've actually even seen a friend of mine just got the new Apple AirPods, and one really unique feature that they have is this audio cancellation kind of technology, that when you put the AirPods in and as soon as you turn it on, there's a moment or two that everything sounds normal, and then suddenly you hear nothing because it's digitally cancelling out your own noise in your surrounding area, which is actually quite fancy. You know, you usually have to wear... If you think of like a helicopter headset that you put on when you're flying in the helicopter, that kind of cups your ear, blocks out all the sound, and you hear none of the blades and the wind and all of that. Mm-hmm. But this is a new technology which is just using a sound in order to cancel out the background noise that would be audible to you.
I want to ask, but I see with Discord, there's still that delay. It's just not as bad as WhatsApp, but there's definitely still a delay that I'm noticing today. Kane, I want to ask you also, by the way, I'm sidetracking again, or sidebarring, whatever you call it. What I wanted to say was, you just mentioned helicopters. Why are helicopters so noisy? Why in 2021 did they not find something to keep all that noise out? Because I don't want to hear the blades and the engines and all that stuff while I'm up in the air. It's kind of scary. And you can't even talk to somebody who's in the helicopter with you. So why are they so bloody noisy?
How many times does a helicopter blade spin while in flight? And that should actually give us an answer as to why that's happening. So I mean, they can spin it like, I think it's like 25,000 rotations per minute or something ridiculous like that.
Yo.
to make that sound, which actually is more created by air. If you've ever had a window that's slightly open, sometimes it can whistle. I mean, can you imagine what's happening in terms of all the air that's pushing down on the earth in order to lift the helicopter up? That's probably why it is so loud. To stop that from being so loud, I imagine there's some very fancy technology that must come into play, probably taken from some sort of UFO or something like that.
But can't they soundproof it?
Well, that is the ultimate question. I mean, the thing about soundproofing is usually if you're in your house and you soundproof the house, your walls are thick, your windows are thick, you've got foaming everywhere, and the basis of a helicopter is trying to be as light as possible in order to ascertain lift. So I think it's a catch-22. You know, the more soundproof you make it and the more sound resistant you make it, the heavier the helicopter becomes and the more difficulty it has to create lift. So YouTube has jumped in. We spoke about it, I think, 2 weeks ago. YouTube trying to compete for market share over TikTok, which kind of came in like a tsunami and went really, really viral with its short 1 minute clips. For those of the audience that doesn't know what TikTok is basically a online platform to watch videos that are usually under 1 minute long, and it really puts pressure on creators to really consolidate information and make it very, very interesting. And it kind of does very well because usually, you know, you're captivated for the first 30 seconds to minutes and a half of any video on YouTube usually having videos anywhere between 3 to 5 minutes, and some videos extending past even 30 minutes. YouTube then developed their YouTube Shorts section of YouTube, which is almost a copycat of TikTok. It features videos under 1 minute. I think some videos can even go to 2 minutes long. And their whole goal right now is to figure out how on earth to get that market share back, which they lost from TikTok. And one way that they've decided to do that is to launch a YouTube Short Fund, a $100 million fund, which will be distributed over 2021 to 2022. And each month, they said, we'll reach out to thousands of eligible creators to claim a payment from the fund. Creators can make anywhere from $100 to $10,000 based on viewership and engagement on their shorts. Now, interestingly enough, I once made a YouTube video that got about 5 million views. And what I found the earnings for that 5 million views to be was about $1,000 per million views. So I imagine that anywhere up to the $10,000 range for viewership on YouTube Shorts would probably have to be quite significant. Some people on TikTok getting, you know, 5 million likes, probably equating to 15 to 25 million views. It's probably going to be tough to hit that $10,000 per month range, but I definitely can see some incentivization between $100 and $1,000. Probably provided unto people who are, you know, utilizing the YouTube Shorts monetization model. But the real question is, you know, does a creator have to create videos every single day exclusively for YouTube Shorts, or can a creator create for YouTube Shorts and TikTok? I mean, the first thought a creator probably has is, well, I'll just take what I do on TikTok and I'll put it on YouTube Shorts. And I think that YouTube would probably penalize that effort and you probably wouldn't be eligible. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. But they also said with the launch of YouTube Shorts Fund, creators and artists now have 10 ways to make money and build a business on YouTube. How interesting is that?
You're very, very interesting. Yeah, I see that YouTube Shorts thing is really picking up nowadays. I never really took notice of it, but these short videos are in general. I mean, look at Instagram and what's the other one? TikTok, especially TikTok. These short videos are the way to go nowadays. I think it's because people's attention span, it's so bad, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, they did a test on it I even watched a video on TikTok, funny enough. Somehow it managed to be a three to four minute video. And the whole video was about, do you or don't you have a short attention span? And the guy spent about 15 to 20 seconds speaking and then kind of sat in silence for about 2.5 minutes. And I found it very difficult to get to the end of that video. I was waiting for something significant to happen at the end and it didn't. But it just proves that your attention span is incredibly short when you're sitting down on the couch or in your bed or in your room and you're like, wow, you know, let me just dive into, you know, some videos and things like that. You want it to be short, you want it to be sweet, you want it to be interesting. You don't want to watch an intro for a minute and a half, which some YouTubers have. They'll spend a minute and a half talking before they even get into their video. So YouTube Shorts, let's see what happens. Let's pay close attention to it.
Yeah, but even with people in real life, I mean, if you're boring, you're boring. You'll have my attention for the first minute or two, and then I'll just start zoning out. And you can see when I start losing interest. But yeah, you can't help it. It's just the way we are. But definitely attention span. If you don't have any interest, I mean, look at us cringing when somebody sends us a voice note for over, well, I would say my maximum, my limit for a voice note is about 3 minutes. Then I won't listen to it, because if it's over 3 minutes, I expect you to send me a song.
fact, I just received a voice note from a friend of mine. It was probably about 8.5 minutes long.
Nope.
And I thought, yo, let me just put this on 2x. And I was thinking the whole time, I'm like, yo, 4 minutes of listening to this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can speed it up, but then they sound like chipmunks. And it sounds kind of weird. So you just go back to the original. Yes, but anyway, okay. Now, let's finally get to WhatsApp. WhatsApp rolled out a new feature called View Once. It's rolling out as we speak. And so you'll obviously start getting it with your updates, automatic update or manual updates from your app store. And what it does is it deletes photos and videos from the chat after they've been opened, giving users even more control over their privacy. For added privacy, you can now send photos and videos that disappear from your WhatsApp chat after the recipient has opened them once, so they can't go back again, and media will not be saved in the recipient's photos or gallery. So once you send once you send or view a photo once or a video, you won't be able to view it again. It will just magically disappear off your phone. So that's pretty cool, I suppose.
Well, we're going to see some screenshot ninjas coming out of the woodworks here.
Ach, yeah, man. Yes, you can just screenshot it. No, man. This is not going to help then.
People are going to be like Clint Eastwood with a screenshot. This is going to be gone. He got it forever.
Yeah, it says you can't forward, save, star, or share photos or videos that have been sent or received with View Once media enabled. But hello, screenshot, just like you said, Kane. Oopsie, that's a bit of a problem there. What an utterly useless new feature.
It's going to be very difficult to screenshot the video, I'll tell you that. You're going to have to screenshot about 50 million times with compilers and some editing software.
Yes, but you know what? You get those screen recorders, so they record it as it is playing on your phone with the sound and everything, so you can just use one of those screen recorders. Problem solved.
Well, do you know what I think might happen? I don't know if you've ever used a banking app that disables any screenshots to be taken.
Privacy settings inside, yes, exactly. Do you think they could maybe do something there in the background?
Absolutely, but that can't stop anyone from having a second phone with a camera open and just taking a picture. You know, it's a very difficult feature to enable. I know Telegram did something similar with self-destructing chats. You could have a chat that would self-destruct in 15 minutes or so. But this is obviously a take on that. It'll be very interesting to see how they implement it. But I would be sad if screenshots are the kryptonite to this new feature.
Yeah, definitely. And then talking about disruptions earlier, several DSTV subscribers in South Africa took to social media earlier this week to complain that they are unable to watch any channels on the pay TV platform. When they switched on their TVs, they just got an error on the screen saying error code E32-4, and then it said smart card and subscription validation in progress. DSTV support account on Twitter also communicated with the impacted subscribers individually and privately, but they weren't able to see anything. Looks like there was a bit of a hardware or software issue on the multi-choices side.
Oh, wow. Now, that's a very interesting problem, because I bet you what we're going to see is some advertising. Pay your TV license and get less DSTV disruptions. I can see it now.
Oh, dear. You reckon they're going to use that as like an edge?
I can see it happening real soon. But speaking of disruptions, did you know that Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis, Jane Fonda, and more are releasing a new series, a bit of a disruptive series. The first time we saw a series like this was Disjointed. I'm sure you've seen it on Netflix. It's about a bunch of stoners who have a weed store. And Stoners the Cat series is actually a series about cats that get stoned. And I just didn't expect that to happen yet.
Oh my word, cats getting stoned. Whoa, are you serious? But is it animated? Hopefully.
It's an animated show about, and here's the gist of it. So Mila Kunis, the popular American actress best known for her role as Jackie on That 70s Show and Meg Griffin on Family Guy, will produce and lend her voice to Stoner Cats, an animated series for adults that tells the story of five cats who, get stoned. And that's not the most curious part of the project. In order to watch Stoner Cats, you need to own a Stoner Cat token, which is a collectible NFT. It's something we spoke about recently.
Wow.
An NFT is basically a non-fungible token, or in non-crypto terms, it's a piece of digital information which cannot be duplicated or copied or cut or moved outside of the owner's control. So you will buy a Stoner Cat's token and be eligible basically to watch Stoner Cats, the series. I think personally it's a little bit early to come in with something like that, because half of the world doesn't even know what an NFT is. You know, the other half of the world that does know what an NFT is, only 20% of them might actually know how to use NFTs. And now you're relying on people being able to use these NFTs to watch your show. But rest assured, they do have a lot, and I'm not joking, a lot of money in order to do this thing properly. The Stoner Cats NFT auction went live, where they sold 10,420 available NFT tokens. They raised $8.3 million in 35 minutes. How crazy is that?
That's insane, man.
Now, the World Wide Web NFT sold for $6.3 million. And Coca-Cola's NFTs are soon to go live and get sold as well. I mean, this NFT marketplace is no small, untapped marketplace. We've seen artists joining the marketplace in order to sell their digital art. We've seen musicians jump in to go and create music and sell it as a NFT. We've even seen Publica, which was a company that I worked with about 3 years ago, create NFTs in order to read audiobooks and ebooks. And the most popular thing about that was you could actually resell the ebook when you were done reading it. And for the first time ever, an author was able to earn money when their book was sold for the second time. Traditionally you'd sell a book in a secondhand store. The author's made his money, the publication has made their money, and now for the first time ever they were able to actually make money off of that. For the second time it sold, in third and fourth and fifth and so on. So NFTs are getting very popular. I can't wait to see the show come out. I have to watch it to try, but bearing in mind that all of the watchable NFTs are already sold, so they're going to be on marketplaces to buy, and probably a few more will be minted and sent out into the economy. It's going to be a very interesting thing. I don't think you'll see it on Netflix, that's for sure.
No, definitely not. Now, listen, BritBox, I said Monday, but no, BritBox is officially available in South Africa from tomorrow, Friday the 6th of August, and it's going to be available on the website BritBox.com, as well as the Android and iOS apps, and the services will also be available on Fire TV, Apple TV, Samsung Smart TV, and LG Smart TV devices. It will cost you about R99.99, so R100 per month in South Africa. And you can also get a 7-day free trial, by the way, to try out the service. So that's nice. You can at least try it.
Try it, because I'll tell you what, Ian, I'm going broke with all these streaming services of Amazon Prime, Showmax, Netflix.
I'm sure you are.
The Stoner Cats NFT. I'm broke.
Yes, no, I'm sure you are. But listen, the other one I want to mention is ETV. They are launching a new video on demand service officially from 8 o'clock tonight. Where you will be able to access your favorite shows, movies, and other content. It will cost nothing. It's free, with over 1,500 hours of free content, except when you want to watch premium content, like Fast Forward. You can go to the website and get more information regarding that as well. But it will give you access to international shows, movies, new original productions, documentaries, and much more. It's called EVOD. EVOD. which stands for Video on Demand by ETV. And you can check out evod.co.za and see how that works for you. Let us know what it's like. You can send us some feedback as well on the WhatsApp line and tell us what it is like. Is it worth it? Or is it just a waste of time? Is it just the current content that they have on ETV and it's just streamed there like repeats again, you know? Because we have too much of that duplication going on.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Especially on something like DSTV. I mean, duplications or replays are rampant. But one thing that's very interesting, Ion, and we've spoken about it before, that I just recently found out just the other day. I happened to go past someone's house who was still running the analog SABC 1, 2, 3 kind of channel structure outside of DSTV. And on the screen is this wording that is kind of looping, and it says, the quality of the channel viewing is going to be changing. Be sure to go to your nearest municipality and buy a specific decoder. So I believe that maybe SABC and all of that kind of stuff and ETV might only be available if you have a dedicated decoder, and you obviously have to pay your TV license in order to buy that decoder. I think that's going to be what's happening.
That's the catch.
One good way to destroy your whole viewership.
Yeah, but I thought, Kane, I thought they switched off those analog signals a long time ago. I'm surprised that it is still going.
Absolutely, and I wonder if that decoder is just picking up the analog signal, and if it's still going to be viewable without it. But either way, I mean, that's a very interesting strategy that I didn't foresee happening, to be honest.
For sure. Wow. I don't know somebody personally where they still have an area on the roof or bunny ears that they still use to watch TV. They all have some sort of box nowadays, even if it's just a media box, like a little My Box or a smart TV. It's all streaming right now. But apparently people are now suffering from streaming fatigue. Have you heard all about that, Kane?
What is that, when you watch so many Netflix shows that you've just seen them all?
Yes, well, I suppose so. But it's just... I think especially with the pandemic, there's too much streaming going on. People, I think it's just your eyes, your brain, it's tired. Because if you're not streaming work stuff and talking on Zoom and all that kind of stuff, you're watching Netflix and you're watching YouTube. So I kind of understand everything is being streamed nowadays. Everything's digital. E-radio is also streamed. So I don't know. Hopefully we're not causing any fatigue.
But I think e-radio is safe because the content is always new and interesting and exciting. And when you go onto YouTube and even Netflix, a lot of the stuff is actually very similar. Like if you look at some of the top kind of comedy TV shows, they all kind of revolve around a single kind of angle, the same thing happening every single episode with slight changes, especially with like detective orientated stuff. Every episode, it's going to start with someone dying, then they're going to do some little research, then they're going to find out who died, and then there's the main storyline like hooked into that as well, it's very easy to get fatigued. But I will say, we have 6 minutes left until the show's over. I got quite a few things to go through, but I have included a little new section that I think might be cool at the end of this, just to go over 3 or 4 very interesting things very quickly, which is kind of like a news flash or a news update, which we can try and go over. But one thing I did want to talk about is Louis Vuitton, who made a video game. And it's not like, when Spider-Man came out, then there was a video game for Spider-Man. This is a very different angle. And it's all about Louis Vuitton, who was aged 14, and then he went on foot from his home in the Jura region of France to the Industrial Revolution era of Paris. He went 292 miles over 2 years, and then he started creating the next generation of trunks, and that's how he got so famous. So they've built a video game around this conquest, and it uses NFTs and it features art in it, and I thought it was very, very interesting. But the key feature of the game is art. So they're integrating cutting edge blockchain technology, which includes 30 NFTs, 30 non-fungible tokens. And 10 of these are created by digital artists like Mike Beeple Winkleman, and who was in March shattered the record for the most expensive digital art ever sold, which is, it's very interesting to see a retail, big shot going out and creating a game for gamers who not necessarily in, you know, high grade apparel wear and accessory wear. They're kind of just behind their computer playing games. So it'll be very interesting to see how they kind of go about this and how they actually do it. I've had a look at some of the screenshots, and I must say it looks quite spectacular, but at the same time it looks more like an arcade style game, something that you would probably enjoy playing on your phone, for example. But it'll be very interesting to see what happens. You basically collect a bunch of stuff. Then you if you collect enough stuff, you get this thing called a postcard, which is like a very interesting piece of art with a little story behind it. Very like adventure series kind of game. Interesting to see where that might go in the future. Have you ever thought Louis Vuitton would make a video game?
No. Isn't he just sticking to handbags and all that kind of stuff? You know, fashion.
Yeah, no, I was blown away. I was like, what in the earth could this possibly be? And then before we get to wrapping up the tech show, one thing also is Monero, which is a popular cryptocurrency created by a guy who calls himself Fluffy Pony. It's the weirdest thing ever. But his real name is Ricardo Spagni. He's a South African, actually. And he developed the cryptocurrency Monero. And he's like little term name was Fluffy Pony. And he was arrested last month in the U.S. state of Tennessee and is now hoping to find his way back home to South Africa. There have been other people who've been locked away, people who've created cryptocurrencies or run really, really big exchanges or just been a very big kind of role in the crypto sphere. But he joins a list of popular entrepreneurs and technologists who made it large with the help of cryptocurrencies, but soon stumbled upon legal hurdles, like the antivirus mogul John McAfee, who was found dead in his prison cell, Ross Ulbricht, who made the illegal website Silk Road, and BitMEX, which is a crypto exchange, their co-founder Arthur Hayes, who surrendered over charges of money laundering. However, the interesting thing is Spagni's arrest had absolutely nothing to do with any Monero illicit activities or transactions, but it came from a non-crypto crime that he committed over a decade ago. And this is where it gets quite interesting. He's been accused of committing fraud between 2009 and 2011 while he was working as an IT manager for Cape Cookies, and he was apparently fraudulating invoices and obviously shaving off of the top.
Oh dear.
I mean, what a way to run. You know, you climb to the top of your respective career, but something from your past comes back and bites you quite
Cape,
hard.
At Cape Cookies, which is quite an interesting name there as well.
So he's sitting in prison now. He hasn't been allowed to post bail due to two reasons, apparently. Reason number one is he owns a watch worth $800,000. I mean, that's crazy. Can you imagine wearing a piece of jewelry like that? I think I would walk around with my wrist in my jacket. But
for sure.
Especially in South Africa, oh my word. And then also, obviously, he has quite a significant holdings in crypto. So they've decided, no, he's not allowed to post bail, unfortunately.
Oh, dear. Oh, well. That's it. Is that it for your rap?
The kings must fall, right?
Yeah,
well, we got a few more things. Let me go through it because they're just short little interesting things. So Google fired 80 employees for abusing user data and spying on people between 2018 and 2020. I mean, that's pretty crazy. You know, you would think your data's anonymous, but obviously for Google, 80 employees abused that data and even shared some personal information outside of the company. Oof. I don't even want to know what that information was that was shared.
Exactly.
TikTok is releasing a stories feature. So you'll have stories that disappear after 24 hours. Facebook, YouTube copying TikTok, TikTok copying Facebook. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Yeah, definitely.
And the last item is Elon Musk didn't want the Tesla Model Y to have a steering wheel because he believed that this thing must be fully self-driving. But his engineers went on and built one anyway.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of tensions there in Tesla at the moment. And he actually wrote about it in one. It's actually written about in one of the books that you can buy. So I thought that was also quite interesting. We better include that.
Yeah, well, you would at least want a steering wheel as backup, you know, for when everything else fails. You would at least want a steering wheel to take over.
I don't need a steering wheel if I at least have a big red button that I hit and I eject from the seat, you know.
Yes, and just remember, if something goes wrong, just drive into the nearest pool.
Yeah, don't go playing around parking on the side of the road and letting it burn. Don't do that. You might burn the whole world down.
But listen, I don't know if you saw that story in Miami, Florida, in America, that apartment building that just collapsed during the night. 12 floors of those flats, just bam, flat like a pancake. Damn. In the middle of the night. Yeah,
that's crazy.
I'll send you the footage. It's hectic. I've been following it very, very closely. But anyway, one of the cars in the basement of that building was a Tesla, some sort of electrical car, and they actually had trouble putting that one's fire out. All the other cars, you know, they could extinguish those fires, but that one just kept burning in the rubble. So interesting, hey?
Terrifying. Terrifying. Who knew? I mean, like, you wouldn't think a car would just start burning, but I mean, after 12 stories of weight hitting it, you would hope that extinguishes the fire, if anything.
Yes, exactly. Oh my gosh. Listen, Kane, thank you so much. It was nice having Tech Thursday with you today, even though we were challenged by the weather, which challenged us technically as well, due to that very sudden rainstorm. It was raining on our parade here. But that's it for this week's Tech Thursday. In case you missed any of it, you can always listen to the podcast later today or tonight on our website, eradiosa.com. Kane, enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll chat to you next week. I hope to see you in studio next week, okay?
Thank you so much for having me. I'll see you next week for another awesome Tech Thursday. Thanks so much to all of our viewers listening. Shout out to everyone.
Cool. By the way, did the rain arrive your side or not yet?
No, it's kind of like that calm before the storm, you know?
Okay, well, brace yourself.
But nothing quite yet.
Brace yourself, dude. Brace yourself. Kane, thanks so much. Until next week. Take care, okay?
All right. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers, bye-bye. Man. Bye.